Hi there, I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Welcome back, and thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. Yesterday I introduced Genesis 2 verse 24, which reads like this: "For this reason a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." And by way of review, I said that we will be using a series of questions in order to understand what God is saying to us here in this verse. And the very first question I have when I read these words in Genesis is, why here? Why has God said, "For this reason a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh," at this point? God has created the first man. His name is Adam. God has created the first woman. Her name is Eve. Earlier verses in Genesis 2 tell us that God brought the woman to the man, and the man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." Then, immediately after the man says this, we get this statement about marriage. Why? We know this is about marriage, and we know this is about the marriage of the man Adam to the woman Eve because of what we read in the very next verse, Genesis 2:25. Let me read it. "And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed." Ah, the man and his wife. The statement on marriage in our verse, verse 24, is applied to the marriage of Adam and Eve. My question is, why, as soon as the woman is brought to the man, must they be married? Why could they not first have just been friends? Just two people spending their days and nights together in this beautiful, perfect garden God had made in the broader land called Eden. Two companions, two associates, two people on a journey together, exploring all that the Lord God had made for their enjoyment. Marriage seems to quickly intrude on the scene, if you want my opinion. Not only that, but this statement on marriage appears very early in the book of Genesis, which then makes it appear very early on in the pages of the entire Bible. The Bible has 1,189 chapters, and in only the second of those, God speaks to us about marriage. Does not this strike you as early, and does that not make you think this is intentional and therefore very important? It does for me. And of course, this is intentional. Everything God does, everything God says, is intentional. That's what I said yesterday. And now we pick up here today. Let me say this. Genesis 2:24 is definitely about the marriage between Adam and Eve, but it is about more than that. The reason this statement about marriage appears so early in the Bible, the reason the first man and the first woman are wed in just the second chapter of Genesis, is because God is teaching us about the nature of the relationship of us to Him. Let me say that again, and then I will explain myself. The reason this statement about marriage appears so early in the Bible, the reason the first man and the first woman are wed, the reason they are married, in just the second chapter of Genesis, is because God is teaching us about the nature of the relationship of us to Him. It is tempting to read this verse and then to immediately dive into a discussion on the intricacies of marriage. For example, marriage being between one man and one woman, or marriage being the result of leaving one's parents to cleave to one's spouse. And in case you are wondering if we will cover this, yes, we will. But I am not starting there. I want to begin with why God introduces you and I to marriage so early on in the Bible. And to see that, we need to do a Bible study. That is, we need to move beyond Genesis and visit some other books of the Bible. I will try to strike the right pace for us as we do this, attempting not to go too fast or too slow. making sure you have a chance to write down these chapters and verses to read them on your own later, to really see how this all comes together. And one more comment before we move out on our study. Remember the theme of our time in Genesis 2, God and man and woman? What do we learn about who we are in light of who God is? With verses 24 and 25, we're going to learn a vital lesson. This first marriage points us to the marriage between God and us. Maybe you have never thought of yourself as being married to God, or as God being married to you. Can I say to you that if you are a Christian, then you are most certainly the bride of Christ? And if you are not a Christian, then it is the desire of God that you be wed to Him through Christ. God is pursuing you with His love, in His love, and He wants you to belong to Him. In the days ahead, we will walk over to the New Testament and talk about the marriage of Christ to the church. But to build our case that this first marriage points us to the marriage between God and us, let's begin in the Old Testament with the Jews. In the Bible's Old Testament, Israel is pictured as being married to God. Israel is God's chosen people, and He chose them and married them. The covenant that God made with the Jews at Mount Sinai is seen as a marriage. We talk about entering into the covenant of marriage, and rightfully so. As a woman is married to a man, so too the people of Israel were married to God. The most dynamic and powerful passage on this, I believe, is Ezekiel chapter 16. This is one of these chapters in the Bible that is eye-popping. Anyone who thinks the Bible is boring ought to read it. And anyone who doubts that Israel was God's bride needs to read this, Ezekiel chapter 16. Can I invite you, indeed urge you, to read this chapter when we're finished here today? I thought about taking the time to read all of it to you, but that will not be as beneficial than if you read it for yourself. For those who would say, I do not really like to read, well, get this on an audio Bible, or have it read to you by a narrator from the computer. In Ezekiel chapter 16, God starts off describing how He found Israel. They were in very rough shape. For example, in verse 6, God says, "When I passed by you and saw you squirming in your blood." Well, obviously the Jews were not in good shape there. They were squirming in their own blood. But then listen to what God, as husband, does for them. I'm reading Ezekiel chapter 16, verses 8 through 14. That's Ezekiel 16, 8 through 14. This is God speaking. "Then I passed by you and saw you, and behold, you were at the time for love. So I spread my skirt over you and covered your nakedness. I also swore to you and entered into a covenant with you so that you became mine, declares the Lord God. Then I bathed you with water, washed off your blood from you, and anointed you with oil. I also clothed you with embroidered cloth and put sandals of porpoise skin on your feet, and I wrapped you with fine linen and covered you with silk. I adorned you with ornaments, put bracelets on your hands and a necklace around your neck. I also put a ring in your nostril, earrings in your ears, and a beautiful crown on your head. Thus you were adorned with gold and silver, and your dress was of fine linen, silk, and embroidered cloth. You ate fine flour, honey, and oil. So you were exceedingly beautiful and advanced to royalty. Then your fame went forth among the nations on account of your beauty, for it was perfect because of my splendor, which I bestowed on you, declares the Lord God." Wow, I told you Ezekiel 16 is eye-popping. Here we have a description of God's relationship to Israel. He found them. They were unwanted and ugly, squirming in their own blood. But God loved them and pursued them and took them. God made a covenant with them and they became His. He covered them. He washed them. He clothed them. He fed them. The Israelite people were exceedingly beautiful and advanced to royalty. This was a royal wedding. That was Ezekiel 16, verses 8 through 14. Now listen to the Lord God again in Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 32. This one is easy to remember, Jeremiah 31, 32. God is speaking about the covenant he made with Israel, and the Lord God uses the imagery of a wedding and a marriage. In the day I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, although I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. Think of that. God taking his people by the hand as when the husband and wife joined hands together, becoming one. He brought them out of the land of Egypt. He made a covenant with them. He was a husband to them. Those are God's words. This is how God feels about them. This is how God sees his relationship to Israel. It is one of marriage. God is the husband. They are the wife. God is the groom. They are the bride. Consider also one more scripture, Isaiah 54, 5. God speaks again saying, "For your husband is your maker, whose name is the Lord of hosts." That's Isaiah chapter 54, verse 5, in which God is the husband of the Jewish people. God says it himself. Again, this is how God sees his relationship with his people, one of the husband to the wife. Well, we're doing a Bible study on the marriage between God and his people, and we will continue this tomorrow. So I hope that you will come back and join me as together we continue to discover who God is and who we are.
Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. Mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others and be sure and join me for the next one.